Today, down, down, some home prices are down. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that's post covering finance and property news. Well, as expected, there was a flow of reporting on home prices to the end of June 2026, including data from Catality and PropTrack. And it was picked up by the mainstream media, social media, and pretty much everywhere else you look. The Herald Sun, for example, trumpeted sick slump for housing, saying confidence in Australia's housing market has slumped as quickly as at the start of the pandemic, following the federal government's budget tax grab, with major builders reporting a collapse in the pipeline of work coming through as house prices plummet nationwide. And the HIA said that the shock pullback was entirely caused by the government talking, suggesting the government had undermined the confidence of owner-occupiers and first-time buyers. We haven't seen market confidence collapse this quickly since the start of the pandemic. So, the housing price sky is falling, to misquote Chicken Licken from a classic European folktale, which, by the way, follows a nervous chick who mistakes a falling acorn for the sky crashing down. And in a blind panic, he rallies a group of paltry friends to warn the king, but they walk straight into a hungry Fox's trap. The ABC led the attack with the most recent data from the real estate data company Catality. According to the data, the well-known slowdown in Sydney and Melbourne was spreading across the nation. According to Catality research chief Gerald Berg, we see affordability as a significant market restriction even before the Reserve Bank raised interest rates. However, three rate increases, the impact of the Middle East crisis on consumer energy bills, a decline in consumer sentiment through this time, and tax reforms have all contributed to the drop. Catality said that nationally, the index dropped 0.4% in June, making it the largest fall month over month since December 2022. Sydney experienced the biggest decline last month, down 1.2%, while Brisbane and Perth rose more slowly, 0.3% and 0.7% respectively, and Melbourne had a 1% decline, while Adelaide didn't change. But let's be clear, prices are still at all-time highs in Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth and Darwin, even if the growth rates are slowing. The same is true in many regional areas across Queensland, South Australia, Western Australia and even regional Tasmania. Rents, of course, are another question as rentals continue to be more expensive, with the basic growth of 0.4% before seasonal adjustments last month. That led to an annual growth rate of 5.9%, which is well above wages growth in real terms. Capital city rents have risen by 41.7% or $217 a week over the past 5 years, they said. So no surprise then that the DFA data to the end of June shows another rise in rental stress and continued high mortgage stress. I'll have much more to say on that in later shows. And the ABC also cited PropTrack data, which said that Australian home prices fell in June as all but one capital city recorded a decline. Despite dropping a further 0.3% during the month, prices still remained 5.8% higher than a year ago. And actually, most homeowners are still sitting on significant gains, with the median price of a home $71,900 higher compared to a year ago. And they said that national home prices have fallen for the third month running, declining by 0.3% in June. Despite the monthly drop, they remained 5.8% higher compared to a year ago. Capital cities drove the decline, dipping by 0.4% over the month. Regional areas, in contrast, continued to outperform, holding steady at a record high in June, and were up 9.5% year on year. Perth was down 0.5%. Sydney was down 0.5%. And Perth, down 0.5%, saw the strongest declines in home prices over June, they said, followed by Melbourne, down 0.4%, and Canberra, down 0.4%. Compared to a year ago, Melbourne is the only capital city, though, where the median price is lower. Darwin was up 0.2%, and that was the only capital city to see home price rises in June and is the second strongest performer year on year behind Perth. Australia's capital cities and regional areas have experienced a divergence in home price growth, they said, over the past 12 months, as well as over the past 5 years. And comparing year on year, Perth has been the strongest performing capital city with prices up 70.1%, followed by Darwin with growth of 16.7%. Brisbane and Adelaide have also been high performers, up 13.9% and 11.9% respectively. On the other end of the spectrum, Sydney and Canberra are much, much lower, with prices up 0.5% and 0.8% respectively over the past 12 months. And Melbourne has been the weakest performing capital city and the only market to see home prices fall over the past year, down 1.1%. And this IFM chart summarizes nicely what's happened over the last year, just to keep things in perspective. One reason why regional properties are so high and have risen so quickly is because people are abandoning Australia's major cities in the search for cheaper housing. And no surprise, when you look at the median value of all dwellings in the cities, Sydney's at $1.23 million, up 17.5% in 5 years. In Brisbane, it's up to $1.07 million, up 84.6% in 5 years, while Perth is over $1 million at $1.01 million, up 96.2%, and Adelaide is at $942,000, up 81.2%. This, of course, is paper wealth. It's an illusion. And those rapid price increases have been, frankly, socially destructive. Another way of looking at it is that the value of housing stock in Australia compared to our GDP is a massive 4.42 times, which is, well, way over the top. Compare that with the US, it's at 1.53 times. And Alex Joyner commented on X that we invest way far too much capital in an asset class that does not produce any meaningful productivity improvements. Banks, of course, in Australia have more of their loans in property than is good for them or, frankly, good for us. And yet, people still largely have the expectation of ever-rising property prices, and it's now feeding a sense of national crisis whenever property prices drop even just a little bit, because a housing industrial complex needs prices to keep rising for large sections of the electorate to be happy and the big parts of the economy to remain profitable. The truth is that most people have really no choice but to play this Australian property game, get a bigger mortgage, drive prices higher, rinse and repeat. Great for the banks, not great for society, and indeed the rising generations. This is a multi-generational issue, and those following me will know that I started highlighting the risks that were rising as early as 2001. Thanks partly to government policy, to bank lending, and to other factors too. Since then, billions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, have been thrown into the property sector to bribe first-time buyers to prop the market up. We, of course, had Home Builder through COVID, and more recently, we had the first-time buyer 5% scheme, which replaced the expensive LMI insurance for many first-time buyers, some of whom, by the way, are now already in negative equity. But it's interesting to me that the latest survey from YouGov suggests a rising belief that we do need to see lower property prices in Australia. As Sky reported recently, 49% of all voters want house prices to go down, and just 17% want them to rise from here. It does vary by political persuasion, with 55% of Labour voters wanting lower prices, 41% at One Nation, 42% of the coalition voters, and a massive 73% of Greens. Now, if you were to take that seriously, then perhaps you won't see the government policies coming to reignite the market, despite the pressure from the building and the banking sectors. Though I'm not going to hold my breath, as I still think it's possible. But as I discussed on Monday in my rant with Edwin, let's keep a sense of proportion. Falling home prices are not the end of the world. Current small falls are, well, frankly, immaterial, though there are some areas where deeper falls are in place and could go further, and it needs to be watched. It's worth recalling that New Zealand saw an 18% drop in prices from peak, and, well, they're still well down 55 months later. So prices can go down as well as up. But the question is, will the government let them? And really, are these small falls in relative terms anything to write home about? Well, probably not. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.